This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How written anchors differ from verbal ones in impact. Two anchoring methods, one negotiation outcome, know which to use. In short, anchoring is the single most powerful opening move in any negotiation. The first number you put on the table shapes everything that follows, because the other party tends to adjust from your figure rather than their own. Written anchors carry permanence and are harder to dismiss than spoken words. Verbal anchors allow you to read the room and adjust in real time. Choosing the right method at the right moment is what separates a strong negotiator from an average one. Definition: written versus verbal anchors describes the two primary ways a negotiator introduces the first reference point in a negotiation. A written anchor appears in a document, email, or proposal. A verbal anchor is spoken in the room. Both exploit the anchoring effect, but they create different levels of perceived commitment and psychological impact. I have watched good people lose value at the negotiating table because they picked the wrong delivery method for their anchor. Not the wrong number, not the wrong timing, the wrong channel. A colleague of mine once sent a detailed written proposal before a first meeting, number printed clearly at the top. The other side arrived at the table already anchored, already adjusted, already prepared with a counter. He thought the document would do the work for him. Instead, it handed them a week to build a strategy around his opening position. That is the cost of not understanding how written and verbal anchors work differently. This article gives you the clarity to tell them apart and the judgment to choose between them. What anchoring actually does to a negotiation. Before comparing the two methods, it helps to understand why anchoring works at all. The anchoring effect is a cognitive bias. When we encounter a number first, that number becomes our psychological reference point. Every subsequent figure we consider gets measured against it, not against some independent calculation. This means whoever sets the anchor first gains a structural advantage. The other party will adjust from your number, even if they know intellectually that it was arbitrary. They cannot fully escape its gravity. In a salary negotiation, a job offer, a property deal, or a vendor contract, the first number on the table shapes the range of what feels reasonable to everyone in the room. Both written and verbal anchors exploit this effect. Where they differ is in how they land, how long they last, and how much room they leave for manoeuvre. The specific weight of a written anchor. A written anchor arrives on paper, in an email, or in a formal proposal. It exists before the conversation begins. It sits on a desk, on a screen, or in an inbox with a timestamp attached. That permanence changes everything. When you write a number down, you commit to it in a way that speech does not require. The other party can return to it, share it, quote it back to you, and build a response around it before you ever meet. Written anchors carry an implied formality. They feel more researched, more considered, and harder to wave away with "I was just thinking out loud." Precision matters more in writing. A written anchor of £47,500 signals that you have done the work. A written anchor of £50,000 looks like a round guess. Specificity in a written proposal communicates confidence and preparation, and that confidence becomes part of the anchor's psychological weight. Good written communication strategy understands that every figure you commit to in writing will be treated as a deliberate statement of position. There is a risk here too. A written anchor locks you in more visibly than a verbal one. If circumstances change or you misread the situation, walking back a written figure without losing credibility is genuinely hard. How verbal anchors behave differently. A verbal anchor is spoken in the room or on a call. It disappears the moment it is said. It leaves no record, no timestamp, no document to reference later. That impermanence is a feature, not a flaw. A skilled negotiator uses a verbal anchor to set the reference point while keeping the freedom to adjust, soften, or reframe quickly. If the other person winces, you can add context. If they stay silent, you can hold. If they push back hard, you have room to recalibrate without the humiliation of contradicting something in writing. Verbal anchors also carry emotional texture, tone of voice, pace, and the confidence behind a spoken number all shape how it lands. Saying "I was thinking somewhere around £85,000 is not the same as saying £85,000 with a pause after it. In face-to-face negotiation, the way you deliver a number is itself part of the anchor. Understanding tone in communication matters here as much as the figure itself. The trade-off is that verbal anchors can be disputed or minimized more easily. That is not what we discussed as harder to argue when the other party has a printed document in front of them. comparing the two methods side by side. Dimension, written anchor, verbal anchor. Permanence, high, leaves a record that can be referenced repeatedly, low, spoken, transient, easily denied or reframed. Perceived commitment, strong, signals are researched. Formal position, moderate, can feel exploratory or conditional. Flexibility, after delivery, limited, backing away, damages credibility, high, easy to adjust, add context, or soften. Psychological impact, delayed, but durable, they have time to absorb it before responding immediate, you can read their reaction in real time. Best for formal proposals, contracts, price quotes, remote negotiations, first conversations, exploratory meetings, relationship heavy deals. Risk, if misjudged, locks you into a position you may need to exit, easier to walk back, but may feel less authoritative. Precision requirement, high, vague or round numbers weaken the anchor, moderate delivery and tone can compensate. The table shows you the skeleton. The flesh of it is this written anchors shape the negotiation before it starts, and verbal anchors shape it while it is happening. They operate at different moments in the process, and the best negotiators treat them as two separate tools, not two versions of the same thing. Written anchors have an extended influence window. If I send you a proposal on Tuesday, and we meet on Thursday, your entire week of thinking has been anchored by my figure. That is 2 days of compounding psychological effect before I've even walked into the room. Verbal anchors do not have that runway, but they have something written anchors cannot replicate, the ability to feel out the room before committing. When you say a number out loud and watch for the response, you're gathering real-time intelligence. That intelligence can save you from a position you would have regretted putting in writing. The role of written clarity in remote communication becomes especially relevant here. In remote or synchronous negotiations, verbal anchors are often simply not available. You have no meeting, no call, no room to read. Your written anchor must do all the work, which raises the stakes for precision and framing considerably. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where the two methods overlap. Here is the truth of it: in most real negotiations, you will use both. The question is never purely written or verbal. It is which one first, and for what purpose. You might open with a verbal anchor in an early conversation, test the other party's reaction, and then follow with a written proposal that formalizes a refined version of that position. The verbal anchor does the exploratory work. The written anchor cements the outcome. This sequence is powerful precisely because each method compensates for the other's weakness. There is also an overlap in the way both methods influence the counteroffer. Whether your anchor arrives on paper or by voice, the other party will adjust from it. The anchoring effect does not care about the delivery channel. What changes is how durable that anchor is, how much authority it carries, and how much room you retain to move. This overlap is also where confusion lies. Some negotiators treat every written exchange as an anchor when it is not, and some treat every verbal mention of a number as exploratory when the other party heard it as a firm position. Misreading which one you have set is how deals fall apart before they should. For written exchanges specifically, reducing misunderstanding in written communication is a skill that directly affects whether your anchor lands the way you intended it to. Three ways negotiators confuse these two methods. First, treating email as a soft channel. The mistake: sending a number over email and expecting the other party to treat it as provisional. Why it happens: the sender thinks of email as conversational, but the recipient treats anything in writing as a formal position. What to do instead? If you want to explore numbers before committing, have that conversation verbally first. Reserve email for the position you are prepared to defend. Second, anchoring verbally when you needed the document to do the work. The mistake: mentioning a number on a call before sending the proposal, then sending a different figure in writing. Why it happens: the negotiator improvised on the call and locked themselves into an inconsistency. What to do instead? If your opening position requires precision, hold the number until it is in writing. Verbal anchors before a proposal can create a gap that damages your credibility. Consider how switching from a casual channel to a formal one changes how the other party receives the same information. Third, confusing feedback on an anchor with acceptance of it. The mistake: when the other party does not reject a verbal anchor immediately, the negotiator assumes they have accepted it. Why it happens, silence or neutral responses can feel like agreement, especially in a live conversation. What to do instead? A verbal anchor that is not explicitly rejected is not accepted. Confirm understanding clearly before proceeding as though the number is on the table. This is as true for verbal feedback as it is for written. How feedback is delivered changes how it is received and remembered. Choosing your method for the situation in front of you. When you're preparing an initial proposal for a deal that will be reviewed without you present, use a written anchor. Make it precise, place it early in the document, and resist the urge to soften it with ranges or qualifiers. The document speaks for you while you are not in the room. When you're in an early exploratory conversation with someone you're still building a relationship with, use a verbal anchor. It allows you to gather information about their reaction before you commit anything to paper. A spoken number that lands poorly can be contextualized. A written one requires a justification. When you are dealing with a sophisticated counterpart who will scrutinize every word of a written proposal, consider anchoring verbally in a preliminary call to test the range before putting anything in writing. This is not weakness. This is preparation. The direct feedback method teaches something useful here. The delivery format shapes how information is received, not just the content of it. When the negotiation is happening remotely and asynchronously, accept that you are working entirely with written anchors. Apply even more care to the framing, the placement of the number within the document, and the precision of the figure itself. Your written anchor is your only anchor. Frequently asked questions. What is the difference between written versus verbal anchors in negotiation? Written anchors are presented in documents or emails and carry a sense of permanence and formality. Verbal anchors are spoken aloud and allow for immediate adjustment based on the other person's reaction. Each creates a different psychological impact on the negotiation and suits different moments in the process. When should you use a written anchor in negotiation? Use a written anchor when you want your opening position to feel fixed and formal, such as in a contract proposal or price quote. Written anchors work well when you cannot be present to defend a verbal number and when you want the other party to deliberate before responding. Are verbal anchors more effective than written ones? Neither is universally more effective. Verbal anchors allow real-time adjustment and emotional reading of the room. Written anchors carry greater perceived permanence and are harder to dismiss. The better choice depends on the stage of the negotiation and the relationship you have with the other party. Can written versus verbal anchors be used together in one negotiation? Yes, and combining them strategically is often the strongest approach. You might use a verbal anchor to test the waters early, then follow with a written anchor that formalizes your position. Each method reinforces the other when timed well and used with intention. Why does the anchoring effect matter in negotiation? The anchoring effect means that the first number introduced in a negotiation disproportionately shapes the range of counteroffers. Whoever sets the anchor first gains a structural advantage, because the other party tends to adjust from that number rather than build from their own independent valuation. How do you set a strong anchor in a written proposal? State your number early in the document, before context or qualifications. Use precise figures rather than round numbers, because specificity signals research and confidence. Avoid ranges in writing, as they invite the other party to anchor to the lower figure automatically. In my experience, the negotiators who struggle most are not those who pick the wrong number. They are the ones who deliver the right number through the wrong channel, at the wrong moment. Mastering written versus verbal anchors is not about memorizing a rule. It is about developing the judgment to read a situation and choose the tool that fits it. Set your anchor with intention. Know whether it needs to last or to flex. That clarity is where negotiating strength actually lies. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.